ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Text 12. Tyaktva yastim sutam vitam vigyanar bhakavatsala iyesha kilatam badhum damnata dviryako vida tyaktva. Throwing away, yastim, the stick in her hand, sutam, her son, bhitam, considering her son's great fear, vigyaya, understanding, arbhakavatsala, the most affectionate mother of Krishna, iyesha, desired, kila, indeed, tam, Krishna, badhum, to bind, damna, with a rope, atatviryakovida, without knowledge of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, because of intense love for Krishna. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yasoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. Purport. Mother Yasoda wanted to bind Krishna not in order to chastise him, but because she thought that the child was so restless that he might leave the house in fear. That would be another disturbance. Therefore, because of full affection to stop Krishna from leaving the house, she wanted to bind him with rope. Mother Yasoda wanted to impress upon Krishna that since he was afraid merely to see her stick, he should not perform such disturbing activities as breaking the container of yogurt and butter and distributing its contents to the monkeys. Mother Yasoda did not care to understand who Krishna was and how his power spreads everywhere. This is an example of pure love for Krishna. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya De Shatarine. So within this sloka there's some interesting words. Arbhaka Vatsala. The Arbhaka you'll find frequently within the Srimad Bhagavatam. It just means a simple, foolish little boy. This is how Narada Muni was described when he lived in the ashram with his mother and he met the Bhaktivedantas who were staying there for the 4 months. This Arbhaka, this young child, because of his innocence and his nice behavior, He was able to attain perfection by associating with the pure devotees. That was Narada. Dhruva Maharaj is also described that way. So Arbaka, Krishna here, he's just a young, innocent little boy. And he had a purpose for this pastime. The reason that Sukadeva Goswami is describing this pastime is because he wants to impress upon Maharaj Pariksit the special mercy that was received only by Mother Yasoda, no one else in the entire spiritual or material creation has been able to bind the Supreme Personality of Godhead except for his mother. And the reason she was able to do this was because of her intense affection, this Arbaka Vatsala. Because Maharaj predicted in the previous chapter, he had asked that how is it that Mother Yasoda was able to attain such special mercy, Sabhagya. And then Sukadeva Goswami, he explained the history of how she became Yasoda and how by the blessings of Brahma, because both Drona and Dara, they didn't ask for any type of boon on their behalf, that Krishna would become their son, anything, nothing like that. They only asked for pure bhakti, and that by seeing the pastimes of the Lord, by hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, the whole Mrityaloka, everyone in Mrityaloka could become purified. So this was not on their behalf. This was that para upakara of a Vaishnava. Whereas Devaki and Vasudev, they performed severe austerities and tapasya for thousands of years, and the Lord personally came. He benedicted them. I will become your son for three births. In this case of Dara and Drona, they weren't praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were in the heavenly planets, and they prayed to Lord Brahma, who was another devotee of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma's benediction, the benediction of devotee, is actually more powerful than the benediction of the Supreme Lord himself. And that is how Mother Yasoda was able to attain the supreme position of being the only person to bind Krishna. Now Sukadeva Goswami, he goes on, because you see, Krishna had his reason for why he wanted to be bound. He noticed later on in the Dwarka Leela, we'll see that different devotees have different personalities. Some personalities, they're very sharp, they get angry, they get jealous. Amongst the wives, you have the two different categories. Rukmini, so humble, so submissive, would never ever consider countering anything that her husband, that might displease her husband. Whereas Satyabhama, angry, man, jealousy, speaking back to Krishna, challenging him, getting envious of her other co-wives. Rukmini was never envious. So he wanted to see Rukmini become angry. And he devised some method by telling her he was going to leave her. So in this case, in the field of discipline, whether you're a guru or you're a parent or you're a teacher, there are four main categories of how to discipline your subordinates. The one is authoritarian, and that is being very strict, that I am the authority and you must listen to me. And the child or the disciple has no real choice because of the strictness of the superior. That's called authoritarian. The next is permissive. Permissive is the exact example of Mother Yasoda. Because Krishna, not only Krishna, Chanaka Pandit, Srila Prabhupada, they recommend that from 8 up to age 5, one should treat their child just like a king. Whatever they want, you give them. You just smother them with devotion and love and affection. Give them whatever they like. Just try to please them. And then after age 5, you start to discipline them. That's when they go to the Gurukula. They're put in the hands of their guru at that time, the guru disciplines, so that the child never sees the mother in a disciplinary, disciplinary, yes. So that's number two, permissive. Then there's neglectful. Now we see that nowadays because there's so much varna sankara that the parents just neglect their children, they dump them off someplace, they run off, do what they want, they come back a few hours later, throw some food in front of them. This is neglectful. They let the kid, it's called the school of hard knocks. They let the kid learn on their own. They have to figure out how to get through life because the mother and the father aren't always going to be there, so let them start early. That's neglectful. And then the fourth is authoritative. Now you'll find the word authoritative all throughout Prabhupada's books. His books are authoritative, the parampara is authoritative. Everyone is authoritative in the spiritual realm of Krishna consciousness. Because authoritative means that on the strength of the previous authorities, you have guidelines in your life. You have different restrictions that you're expected to follow. And if you don't follow them, then you know what the consequences are going to be. If I don't get up for Mangal Arati, well, the rule is, then I don't get to take prasadam. We know what's going to happen. So there's no fear. We know we're responsible for our own activities on the strength of this authoritative disciplinary measures. So Mother Yasoda, being 100% permissive, 200%, even when the mothers came and complained to her about Krishna, she called them liars. She wouldn't believe them because her son could do no wrong. So Krishna wanted to change this. It wasn't fun for him. You'll see with the little child, the most fun for him is when he gets a shock. Even when they're playing together, one of them takes the part of a demon. They go running away. Yes, yes, they're so scared. They run in all directions. And when someone makes a scary face, well, that's a lot of fun for them. They're scared and at the same time they're laughing because they know they're just playing. So Krishna wanted to see his mother get angry at him. He wanted to see her actually discipline him because she had never done it before, although there was plenty of cause to do it. So he devised a plan, and that was after she went to take care of the burning milk pot, he broke the pot, he climbed up, he got yesterday's butter, he went outside of the house, was sitting cross-legged, distributing the butter to all the monkeys, and he knew he had done something wrong. But because he had never been punished before, he didn't know what the consequences were going to be. What was Mother Yasoda going to do? He suspected she was going to punish him. And he was afraid of getting beaten, because this is the natural thoughts of a child, that, oh no, someone's going to come and beat me if I do something wrong. So he was looking around in all directions. When Mother Yasoda came back from the stove, she saw that beautiful pot. Of course, Mother Yasoda, being the queen of Braja, she would get the most beautiful, shiny yogurt pot for churning with. That pot was broken into pieces. She felt so sorry for the pot. The pot felt so sorry for himself because he couldn't do service anymore. Then she goes into the next room. She sees that the butter's missing and the utkala is there. She sees the footprints. And she hears the children, the mothers put bells around the children's waists. You'll see even now they have a little bell with a black string. Well, it might be to ward off some bad elements, but mostly it's so you can find out where the child is. Because the children go in all directions. Same thing with the cow. When you hear the cow bell, you can find out where the cow is. So same with the kids. So from the tinkling of his waist bells, she was able to find out where he had gone. She was inside the house, and she craned her head, looking out the door, to see that Krishna was looking in all directions, fear in his eyes. His eyes were going from one ear to the other ear, looking to see when his mother was going to catch him. And she was going to catch him, that's for sure. She picked up a stick because this time she had heard about all the times he had broken pots and stolen butter in other people's houses. Now he did it in his own house, in Nanda Maharaj's house. He had broken the best pot. She picked up a stick. She wanted him to be afraid, and she very carefully went towards him. But he saw her because the monkey started running away. So he looked around, he saw her, and he started to run. Not in any particular direction. He was just trying to hide himself here and there. He knew the whole neighborhood. He knew all the hiding places. Mother Yasoda was running after him with the stick in her hand. He was being chased. He had to go as fast as he could. He couldn't look behind, otherwise he would slow down. She was catching up with him. Finally, from behind, she grabs his right arm. She's got him. And he's so scared, he sees that stick in her hand. And he's crying. Don't beat me, don't beat me. By this time, all the neighbors have come out. All the women are laughing. Oh, something happened today. The men are, they're somewhere else. So the mothers, they're enjoying this, that finally she sees all the mischief he's been doing. Now she'll believe us. So she grabs him, and the stick is in her hand, and she's abusing him like anything. You pot breaker, you butter thief, you naughty little boy, how could you do this? So Krishna's just, he's looking at that stick, and he's crying, and he's just saying, don't beat me, don't beat me, put the stick down. So Mother Yasoda, she starts to think, because she's never been in this situation before with her child, that she's about to beat him. She thinks this might cause some mental trauma in him, even if he thinks I'm going to beat him. So she threw the stick away. But then she says, you're so restless. You're just like the monkeys. You're just like the father's side of your family, all thieves. So Krishna, he gets a little insulted. He said, well, if I'm just like the monkeys, I'm going to go live with the monkeys in the forest. So then Mother Yasoda gets scared because she knows how restless her child is. She thinks, I put the stick away now. Now I have to go take care of my housework. If I just leave him here, he might actually run to the forest. So then she decides to tie him up. And this tying up, she just took the strings from her hair, which are not very strong, little ribbons, old strings, and she tries to tie him around his waist. We know that his waist within his belly is the whole universe. She was having a little trouble, 2 inches too short. She took another string. Then the mothers who were watching, they gave some strings. Nothing was binding his waist. They couldn't do it. And the mother said, it's just not possible. Give up. She wasn't going to give up. She was afraid. She was going to lose him to the monkeys. So then they started bringing churning ropes. And finally, when Krishna saw her perspiration, her fatigue, her intense endeavor, everything, her hair was getting loose, her flowers were falling, she was, whole body was perspiring. Then he decided, I'm going to let her tie me up. So she ties him up, she ties him to the Utkala, and then she goes, just for a little while, and she makes sure, she tells the other boys, because every single devotee, just like when Krishna went to Mathura, and he was in the Ranga Kshetra, where they had the big wrestling match. You can go there today even, it's still there. And just near the place is where Krishna dragged Kamsa around by his choti. Everything is still there in Mathura. So anyone who was watching what was happening in that wrestling match, they each had their own opinion, and they each had their own vision of Krishna. So when this pastime was going on, it was exactly the same thing. Rohini wasn't there, Balaram wasn't there. And Krishna was yelling, Rohini, where are you? This could never have happened if you were here to save me. Balaram, you're not protecting me. So they weren't there, but the other little boys were there. And they were at a distance. They were afraid because they were also accomplices with all of Krishna's butter stealing. So they stayed far away so they wouldn't also get tied up. Then Mother Yasoda calls them. She says, "You watch him and make sure he doesn't go anywhere." So then the mothers, they go into their houses. Mother Yasoda, she goes into her house. The little boys are watching Krishna. And Krishna, who's all tied up, he's bound up. And he binds every single living entity within this material world, Mrityaloka, from Brahma down to the grass. They're all bound up. Now Mother Yasoda has bound him for the first time. And still he's thinking, how can I release my devotees? So he remembers at that time that Narada Muni had cursed the two boys, Nalakuvara and Manigriva. They were standing there at the gate of the town as the big Arjuna trees, gigantic, powerful, 1,000 years old. So he decided it was time for him to liberate them because of the blessing that his devotee Narada Muni had given. So though he was bound, due to his compassion, he was thinking how he could liberate these two young boys in the form of trees. When Maharaj Parikshit heard about this, now he had also been cursed, just like the Yamalarjuna trees. And he realized at that time that when someone is cursed, it seems like something very bad has happened. But in the case of his life, it became the greatest blessing because then he got the association of Sukadev Goswami. He got to hear all the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So he became curious and he asked, what did they do wrong that they got this great benediction that they're going to get liberated by the Supreme Lord? And then next chapter we'll hear about Nalakuvara and Manigriva. So each devotee, they have their concept of this particular pastime. When Krishna had to go to Mathura, this was a very traumatic experience for him because he had lived for 11 years under the loving care of his parents, Nanda and Yashoda. And simply due to the need of his devotees there, the Yadavas, he went there to kill Kamsa and then planned to come right back to his home. But they wouldn't let him go back. And when he came to tell Nanda Maharaj that he couldn't go back immediately, Jarasandha would be coming, he had to satisfy Devaki and Vasudev, who had been suffering in jail, it would take a little more time. He gave Nanda some gifts for all of the Brijbasis, because all of the jewels that had been taken from Kamsa and the other wrestlers, they were all there. So he gave them to Nanda to distribute to all the devotees. When Nanda brought back these jewels, nobody cared about the jewels. They wanted Krishna. And they thought, Krishna's just insulting us. He thinks we care about jewels. We don't care about jewels. We want Krishna. But then Nanda Maharaj, for 3 days Nanda Maharaj couldn't speak. He couldn't explain what happened. After he had come back, nobody was happy with the jewels that Krishna had given them. And then finally Nanda Maharaj explained to them that Krishna has promised me he is definitely coming back once his work is finished. And in the meantime, he wants you to wear all these jewels so you can remember him. So then they gladly accepted the jewels. And you'll read, like when Uddhava comes, when Akura comes, everyone is beautifully bedecked with ornaments. When they're churning, Uddhava goes to meet everyone, they have ornaments on. These were the ornaments that Krishna had sent for them. And they're just wearing these ornaments so they can remember him as a loving gift from him. So Nanda Maharaj, he convinced the Brijbasis that certainly Krishna is coming back. The problem was, he didn't come back. He just extended and extended. And Rohini, when she came to Mathura, because Vasudev said that she had to come, she was one of his wives, there was no reason for her to stay anymore because Krishna and Balaram were now in Mathura. Krishna and Balaram were in Avantipur at the Gurukula when Rohini arrived. When they came back, Rohini, she tried to impress upon Krishna that the Brijbasis, they are suffering so much. It's been months now and you haven't come back. Please, just go see your mother. She is crying so piteously for you that the stones are also crying. The lightning shatters itself when they hear her screams. So Rohini was trying to help Krishna understand how much the Brijbasis missed him. And this was causing a great conflict within Krishna because he couldn't go back. If he were to go back at that time, then all the demons would come and attack the cows and attack the Brijbasis. So he was pulled. He wasn't thinking that now I'm going to enjoy, now I'm going to marry 16,108 wives, I'm going to be the prince of the Yadavas. No, he was just thinking, how am I going to get back to Braj? When will this work all be over? So, he had work to do. He had a lot of demons to kill. Starting with Kamsa, then he had to kill long list of demons that Krishna killed after he left Braja. We know all that from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But again and again, the devotees who understood the mood of the Brijbasis, they were requesting him, at least once go back. So instead of him going back, he sent his closest friend, Uddhava. Now Uddhava, he was very proud of the fact that he looked just like Krishna, he was always with Krishna, he was Krishna's closest companion, and he was always being told that you are the most fortunate of all Krishna's devotees. He accepted it. He said, I really am. I'm always with Krishna. So Krishna wanted to break that pride in him. So he sent him to Mathura, to Vrindavan. And when Uddhava saw the love, the devotion, and that Vipralamba Bhav of the devotees, his pride was completely crushed. He realized, I have no devotion compared to the love that the Brijbasis have for Krishna. And therefore he stayed months and months to see and to learn from them how to love Krishna. And he praised them. He gave so many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam that these, especially the gopis in Vrindavan, he had just seen Radharani speaking to the bumblebee in her illusion, thinking that it was a messenger. But when he speaks about the gopis, this includes Mother Yasoda and also the elderly gopis who had also given up everything in Krishna's service. And he says, nothing compares to their love. He just prays to become a little creeper so that these gopis will trample upon him in their ecstasies when they're doing their service for Krishna. So Uddhava, he understood, and he also implored Krishna, go back. They're like living corpses. They're lying on the ground, hardly breathing, waiting for you to return. But Krishna was not returning. Then Balaram, he prayed to Krishna, you have to go. They're suffering too much. No, you go. So Balaram went. He also tried his best to placate all the Brijbasis. He stayed for 2 months. He constructed little houses just to give them some encouragement. He said, when Krishna comes back, which will be very soon, I'll have him stay in this house. He set up little amusement areas that Krishna will enjoy with you in this place, just to give them some hope. And then he said, all right, I'm going now. I'm going to go to Dwarka, and I'll immediately bring Krishna with me. He couldn't do it. Krishna wasn't finished with his work yet. So as Narada Muni, this is a book that Sanatan Goswami wrote, one of his greatest works, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. As in part one, as Narada Muni was traveling throughout the universe to find the devotee who had the greatest mercy of Krishna, the greatest love of Krishna. He first went to the Brahmin at Prayag. The Brahmin said, I didn't get Krishna's mercy. He sent him to the king in the south. Then the king in the south sent him to the demigods. The demigods, they all consider themselves great aparatis, because each one of them, Indra, Brahma, Shiva, Varuna, they had all interrupted Krishna's pastimes by coming and stealing Nanda Maharaj, by trying to inundate all of Braj. So the demigods, they didn't feel themselves that they were recipients of Krishna's mercy. They felt themselves to be aparadis. So the demigods sent them to the Pandavas. The demigods sent them to Brahma. Brahma, he considered himself the greatest offender by stealing the cows and calves. Brahma sent Narada to Shiva. Shiva also considered himself an offender because he heard when Krishna said that my devotee is greater than me. I love my devotee. I come under the control of my devotee. So Shiva, he prayed to become the greatest devotee of Krishna, and then he felt that Krishna would love him the most. So Shiva also considered himself to be an offender because he prayed to be greater than Krishna. So Shiva, he then sent him to... Parvati was there. She told Narada Muni, if you want to see the greatest devotees, then go to the spiritual world. You're not going to find them here in the material world. You're not even going to find them on Shiva Loka. Go to Vaikuntha, because in Vaikuntha you'll find Lakshmi. And Lakshmi is always on the chest of Krishna. She didn't commit any offenses. But then Shiva, he very secretly, so as not to make Parvati angry, he said, don't go to Vaikuntha. You won't find the greatest devotees there. In Vaikuntha, everyone has liberation. They're all happy all the time. Go to the bhaktas here in the material world. Because the bhaktas in the material world, they have stayed here to help others go back to Godhead. He said, if you want to see a great devotee, you go to Prahlad Maharaj. He's the greatest devotee. We're hearing about that now. His devotion, that I don't care about, I don't want anything for myself. I just want everyone else to become your great devotee. Narada Muni went to Prahlad. Prahlad said, I'm not even a devotee. I never did any service for Krishna. You should go to Hanuman. He's the greatest servant of Krishna. Hanuman said, I'm not a... Ramachandra, he deserted me. He took everyone back to Godhead and left me here to suffer in the material world because he wanted me to preach. I'm not even a devotee. I'm just praying that I can serve Ramachandra again. Don't look at me. He said, you should go to the Pandavas. The Pandavas always have Krishna with them. Narada Muni went to the Pandavas. Each one of the Pandavas, including Kunti, including Draupadi, they said, we don't have Krishna's mercy. He left us. He only comes to us when we're in trouble. And now, because he wanted us to become emperor, queen, take charge of the whole world, he has nothing more to do with us. He doesn't even care about us anymore. You should go to Dwarka, where the Yadavas are. He lives with the Yadavas always. He never leaves their association. So Narada Muni, he flew to the Yadavas. He already knew Dwarka because that was his favorite place for watching Krishna's pastimes. The Yadavas said, no, we're sitting here in the hall waiting for Krishna to come. He's late today. He doesn't always favor us. Not only that, we've been cursed. So of all the Yadavas, the best is Uddhava. Again, we come back to that circle. And Uddhava already knew that he wasn't the best of the devotees. Uddhava knew who the best was. So Narada Muni goes to where Uddhava is. Krishna's lying on his bed. He couldn't get up that morning. And they're having a big istagosti. There's Uddhava, Balaram, Rohini, Devaki, Rukmini, Satyabhama. They don't know what to do because Krishna is just moaning and groaning in his sleep that day. He's not waking up. He's not going to his duties at the Sudharma Mahal. Nothing. So Narada Muni, he arrives at that time. And he starts to praise Uddhava. And Uddhava said, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a great devotee. I saw the great devotees in Vrajabhumi. I know who the great devotees are. They're the greatest devotees. And amongst them, the gopis are the most superlative. So, Krishna, he heard what they were saying. He gets out of his bed, he comes out, he sees all of his devotees. He says, I don't know what to do. I want to go back to Braj. I never wanted to come here. Now, in psychology, there's a special, it's a very dangerous state. It's called psychosis. When Krishna was still sleeping, Rukmini, she very privately spoke to all these internal devotees. She said, when Krishna is sleeping like this, he talks to himself. And he's not with us anymore. He's talking to the cows. He's asking Mother Yasoda for butter. He's calling his friends. And I know he's not in Dwarka with us. He's back in Braj when he's in his dreams. And I'm very worried about this. And then Satyabhama, she gets angry. She says, why are you babbling like this, Rukmini? You say he talks like this in his dreams. He talks like this when he's awake also. Suddenly, he'll look at me and he'll call me Radha. He'll start in the middle of nowhere. He'll start calling the cows names. He said, there's not... So this is called, in psychology, it's called psychosis. Psychosis means you are completely in one place, but your body is in another place. And somehow or other, you have to try to pull the two together. And it's a very difficult, it's actually a dangerous situation for the person who's psychotic. Now, neurotic, that means you realize that something's wrong with me. But in the case of Krishna, his double personality, schizophrenia, they call it, schizophrenia, he just wanted to be in Braj. But because of his responsibilities, he was forced to be in Dwarka, forced to be in Hastinapur, forced to marry 16,108 wives that he never wanted to marry. When he read the first message from Rukmini, coming from the Brahmin, and she said, if you don't marry me, if you don't save me and kidnap me, I'll give up my life. So what could he do? She was his devotee. He didn't want to marry. He wanted to go back to Braj, but he had to save her life. So out of obligation, he married her. So at each and every one of the wives, out of obligation for their devotion, he married them all. And now he was stuck with 16,108 wives, thousands of sons, hundreds of thousands of grandsons, and he just wanted to go back to Vrindavan and play with his friends. So he was in such a state. So, as always, he spoke to his advisor, Uddhava. He said, what should I do? I can't take this anymore. I want to go back to Vrindavan. And Uddhava, understanding, because it was a mixed company, there was Balaram and Rohini on one side who wanted him to go back, and there was Devaki, Rukmini, Satyabhama, and the queen of the Yadavas, who we've heard about a few times, Padmavati, Ugrasena's wife, the mother of Kamsa, on the other side. They didn't want Krishna to leave. So Uddhava had to be very diplomatic. How was he going to satisfy not only Krishna, but the Brajvasi side and the Dwarkavasi side? So, Padmavati, before Uddhava could even say anything, Devaki said, she had an idea, because she didn't want Uddhava to speak. Devaki said, let's just satisfy the Brajvasis, give them whatever they want. She thought, give them some jewels, give them some land, give them more cows, anything they wanted, we'll give them and satisfy them, because they wanted Krishna. So Padmavati, she was afraid, well, they might ask for the whole kingdom, and then we'll be left with nothing. So she said, no, 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 no. Don't give them what they want. Just call Gargamuni and remunerate them. Krishna lived with them for 11 years. What's 11 years? He's over 100 years old now. And out of those 11 years, he was just drinking his mother's breast milk for 4 years. So, and then those scoundrels, those good-for-nothings, those miscreants, those nomads, she's talking about the Brijbasis, they use Krishna as their slave. They forced him to go into the forest every day, no shoes, with the thorny trees. They made him herd their cows from morning till night. And when he was tormented with hunger, he would try to take a little something produced from the milk. And then they would show the stick at him. They would tie him up with ropes. This is her concept of the Damodar Lila. They would tie him up with ropes so he couldn't eat the butter. So this is the concept of the Dwarkavasis of this Damodar Lila is quite different from Mother Yasoda's and all the Brijbasis concept. So she was saying, don't give them anything. You just have Gargamuni, because he's a big, great astrologer, mathematician. He can calculate how many hours of service Krishna did for the Brijbasis and pay them. You know, pay them back, that's all. And all the food that he ate, pay them for that. That's all they deserve. All the mistreatment and the abuses that they gave him. So her idea was, not only should not Krishna should not go back, but give them just whatever they deserve, get rid of them. So nobody was accepting that. Rohini didn't accept that. She said, you don't understand these Brijbasis. They will die without Krishna. And then Balaram spoke. He said, you must go back. They're dying. You can't let your devotees die. And then when Balaram said that, Krishna grabbed his neck and started to cry and weep. And the two of them rolled on the ground together. And nobody knew what to do to stop it, because now not only Krishna was upset, now Balaram was also upset. So the demigods, they watched these pastimes. Brahma was watching. He said, now what are we going to do? How are we going to stop Krishna and Balaram with all their sadness? So he called Garuda. Now the demigods, there's a secret place in Dwarka, and that place, just like Srila Prabhupada, he was missing Vrindavan very much. And therefore, when he got to America, he made his first center at 26 Second Avenue. The second place that he made was a place that he called New Vrindavan. Now, in Sanskrit, that's called Nava Vrindavan. Nava means new. So he made this New Vrindavan, and he told the devotees, I want you to make this an exact replica of Vrindavan, so that when you enter into New Vrindavan, you feel like you're in Vrindavan, with the seven temples and the rolling hills and the cows, everything just like Vrindavan. So there's a secret place in Dwarka called Nava Vrindavan. And this was made by Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods. In Nava Vrindavan, it's just like Vrindavan. He made Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, Radharani, all the cowherd boys, all the cows, diorama type. Exact replicas. He could do it because he was the greatest architect. Exact replicas of all the Brijbasis. And when Krishna would feel intense separation from Vrindavan, he would go to Nava Vrindavan to feel like he was back in Vrindavan, because he still couldn't go. The demons hadn't all been killed. So Brahma called Garuda. He said, quickly pick them up, put them on your shoulders, and while they're still unconscious, take them to Nava Vrindavan. And then when they gain consciousness, they'll think they're back in Vrindavan. So that's exactly what happened. They went to Nava Vrindavan. As Krishna woke up, he saw Mother Yasoda, he saw Nanda Maharaj, he started speaking to them, but they didn't talk back. And Rohini said, oh, that's because they're so stunned, they're so happy to see you, Mother Yashoda wants to go cook now. You go and herd the cows. He went to herd the cows. He was talking to his friends. Nobody was talking back to him. Then he saw in the distance what he thought was the Jamuna. He ran to the Jamuna and he saw it was the ocean. And then this back and forth, this schizophrenia. He said, oh, where am I? I'm not in Vrindavan? That's not the Jamuna? And then he looked over and he saw all the palaces in Dwarka. He said, what's this? This isn't Vrindavan. This is Dwarka. And then from this, he was able to come back slowly to, yes, I'm Krishna in Dwarka. This is new Vrindavan. Now I have to be in Dwarka. So Krishna was feeling just as much separation from Mother Yashoda, from all of his friends, from all the gopis, when he was engaged in his Mathura and Dwarka Leela, always thinking how he could come back to his beloved Brijbasis. So this Damodar Leela, when the Brijbasis saw this Leela, had to be quick. Radharani, how did she see this Leela? Because she was also a little girl. She immediately thought, well, I want to bind up Krishna too. And one night, when they were a little older, they had, Radharani has her kunj. She was waiting for Krishna and he was late. So when Krishna finally came, she was angry at him. And she decided, just like Mother Yashoda, she said, well, he's so restless. I have to keep him bound up here. So she took some golden vines and she, taking the step from Mother Yashoda, she took those vines and she bound Krishna within her kunja. She said, now you can't leave. And then Krishna explained to her, I didn't want to be late, but Mother Yashoda, she had me engage in a festival at the house, and it made me late. You please forgive me. So then she realized her mistake, and she unbound him. So even Radharani, she takes inspiration from this Damodar Leela. And that is why in the month of Kartik, we don't only celebrate the Damodar Leela of Mother Yashoda, but we celebrate Radha Damodar Leela, which is also when Radharani tied up Krishna. And trying to be as great a devotee as Mother Yashoda, she tried to bind Krishna just as Mother Yashoda tried to bind him. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. I give up.
Very difficult to understand the Supreme Personality of God, his pastime, let alone his schizophrenia and or his, you know, never leaving Vrindavan and leaving Dwarka and all the mysteries of the Supreme Lord's activity. So how mundane creatures who have tried to equate everything on the bodily platform according to their understanding, when they hear of certain things which seem extraordinary and or out of the ordinary of the worship of the Supreme Lord, how we should have our minds set on that? Because it seems like we're worshiping a schizophrenic, eccentric Supreme Personality.
Well, this is the joy of associating with devotees. And this is the blessing that Pariksha Maharaj realized that he had received. Because he was the king of the planet. He had so many managerial responsibilities. Kali was always trying to attack. And then by just Krishna's arrangement, he garlanded Samyak Rishi with that snake. As a result, he was so-called cursed. Now from that curse, he had the opportunity to hear all of these sweet pastimes. And these pastimes, he didn't want it to end after 7 days, of course. But these pastimes, he just kept asking more and more and more questions. Because with our limited brain, how are we ever going to understand the unlimited pastimes of the Supreme Lord? So because we have a short lifespan, he only had 7 days. So our Srimad Bhagavatam is only 18,000 slokas. But in the heavenly planets, the Srimad Bhagavatam is lakhs and lakhs of slokas. And they just go on hearing more and more and more of the pastimes, unlimited pastimes. Rupa Goswami, he prays for thousands of tongues. He prays for thousands of ears. Sheshanab, although he has thousands of mouths, he can't finish speaking about all these unlimited, ununderstandable pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So don't expect that we'll ever be able to understand them. All we can do is go on eternally hearing these pastimes in any condition, if we're in hell, if we're in heaven, even in the spiritual world, they're always hearing about Krishna's pastimes, and they want to hear more and more and more.
Srila Prabhupada says, just chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, right. Any more questions?
So we saw this leela that this priest tries to curse the Narada
Muni,
and then finally they got liberated by Krishna Bhagavani. So in this case we see it was a curse, but that actually was a boon.
Yes.
But they had to wait for other days.
Yes.
So in the devotee's life, in the environment of spiritual journey, sometimes we get cursed or we make mistakes. But the ultimately
means
personalized reaction, right?
Yes.
So how can we counteract that? Is it possible or is Krishna taking care of that? What exactly
does that mean? Well, that's why we hear about these different aparadhas that are being committed and how they're cursed and how they're blessed. For instance, Narada Muni was cursed when he was a Gandharva to become a Sudra. So we hear about these stories so that we can be careful not to commit those aparadhas. And then we hear about the different demons, and through the works of the Goswamis, we can hear about what aparadhas the demons had committed so that they became demons. So that's the importance of hearing and the importance of studying all of these books. Because if we can avoid these aparadhas, which is really what our spiritual life is all about, we're in the clearing stage. At any moment we are committing offenses because we don't even know what all the seva aparadhas are. By hearing, we can avoid these offenses and purify our devotional service. So that is the importance of hearing the instruction of devotees, and then we can try to avoid these offenses, and then we won't have to be cursed. So hear as much as you can. Morning and evening, and during the daytime, at least an hour or two of reading, so we can understand how to avoid offenses and how to perform pure devotional service. Sometimes?
Subtle.
Well, in Kali Yuga, we get a special dispensation that if we commit offenses within our mind, then it's not counted. It's only when we physically commit the offenses. Yeah. And also with devotees, we have another compensation, and that is if we have desires, those desires get fulfilled in our dreams so that we don't have to execute them on the mundane platform. Yes, Prabhu.
On Facebook?
There must be some special hellish planet for Facebook offenders. Any more questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, they are.
Because, yeah, it's so bewildering because why should somebody get incentivized for committing an aparadha to a Vaishnava? So actually, I agree with overcoming Vaishnava aparadha. A small book the other day gave me that,
yes,
of course, came wonderfully. First of all, thank you for that. And the question is like, why they are incentivizing like somebody is like harming themselves? Like, it's so beautiful to understand their nature. So, I don't understand how come Vaishnavas are doing this.
Why are they what?
No, why we have, why Vaishnavas are like, apparently like they are not personal. When they curse also, it becomes a boom or somebody.
Yes.
Harming them also, they are trying to do again to them. So, even in Ramananda Chaya pastime, there is an incident. Somebody plucked up the eyes of the devotee. The devotee when God came in front of him to ask for something. He said, like, whatever you want to give me, you should give the same thing to the devotee who plucked up my eyes. So, this is so preparing to understand Vaishnava's nature, and I don't know, like, if you can say something.
Well, we can go back to the very beginning of the class, the four different types of disciplinary measures. And if we understand that authoritative discipline is the best, and that is, you know what the apparat is, and you know what the reaction is going to be, and therefore with your own intelligence, you choose not to commit that apparat. So the only way that we can learn what these apparats are is through the association of devotees and by studying the shastras. So therefore, in our early stage, we're all beginners in this lifetime, in our Krishna consciousness. We have to learn from the Vaishnavas what not to do and what to do. That's nivritti and pravritti. Those two go together. Not just what to do, but while we're performing our devotional service, what we have to avoid. And by hearing these stories or histories, however you want, we will learn this authoritative method of discipline so that we know exactly what to avoid. If we see a potential danger in our spiritual life, that we might be, like, someone speaks badly to us and we very, very much would like to speak badly right back to that person, but we know, we already know authoritatively what the reaction is going to be, then we control our tongue. That's austerity of the tongue. So the most important thing is hearing, studying these literatures, and in that way, protecting ourselves from apparads so that we don't get that opposite reaction of the punishment. Punishment is there for all of the devotees. Even Radharani gets punished. Everybody gets punished. Mother Yasoda was being punished after this. She was afraid to come out of the house. She was so ashamed of what she had done to Krishna. She did it in good consciousness. She had to protect and discipline her child. But Nanda Maharaj was ready to beat her. All in joke. This is just a play drama to show Krishna's love. Not always.
It seems like
not always.
No. No.
No.
That is my question actually.
I see. Now I understand your question.
Your answer was straightforward, but the question is something different.
No. They intentionally commit apparat because it's going to be a boon for them to get Krishna's special mercy. No, Narada Muni, to have to live for 1,000 celestial years as a tree is not a benediction. They suffered as trees. Now, you have the perfect example in Chaitanya Lila of people who offended the Lord's devotees or the Lord directly. Gopal Chapala, when he offended Srivas Pandit and immediately came down with leprosy, he suffered terribly and he begged the Supreme Lord for his mercy, and the Lord said, in millions of years you'll never get my mercy because you offended my devotee. Right? So it's not that it's immediate, No, when you perform an aparad, you have to suffer. And you suffer a lot. Kaliya, he was a great sage who offended another sage. He had to suffer in that form of Kaliya. That everyone, anyone who is cursed or is being punished, they're suffering. And then later, by the mercy of a devotee or the mercy of the Supreme Lord directly, they'll release them from that suffering. But the release means they were suffering. Okay? Yes, Mataji.
When we have to preach several lives and to give the tests about Krishna consciousness, we tell the story. We can, if I have to tell the story, in simple words, so you said the Vajrasi was there because I was sad because I wanted to be with Krishna and friends and to play with him and the family waiting for him.
Yes, yes.
And you said that at Dwarka.
There are different degrees of love. All of the devotees of Krishna are on the perfectional stage. They all have pure love for Krishna. But there are different degrees of that perfection. So in Braja, that is the most perfect love. And in Dwarka, it's more perfect. It's not on the same category, not on the same level of pure love that the Brijbasis have. So when Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, he reciprocates in proportion to their love for him. So therefore, he wanted to go back to where the devotees loved him the most, which was Brajadham. But he was pulled because the devotees in Dwarka also loved him so much. And therefore, there was this conflict within him. Okay? Yes, Prabhu.
Regarding this Prabhu question, that they were king of attention, they attend the mercy and they were kind of enemy.
Advaitacharya did that, actually.
In that connection, in fact, it is written that Sukadeva Goswami narrated a pastime to exhibit the power of the association of devotees, because these two, Nanda Kubera and Manikri, they were the power of Kubera and
yes.
Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
And seeing their connection to the great devotees,
yeah.
Narada Muni blessed them.
Right.
So he, Sukadeva Goswami narrated this pastime to exhibit, although you might be a big offender, but if you have the association and if you have the mercy
yes.
of devotees,
right.
You can attend the love.
Right, they were very puffed up demigods. They weren't devotees at all of Lord Krishna. They were devotees of Lord Shiva. And by the association of Narada Muni, suffering for those 1,000 years, then getting the darshan of Krishna, they returned to the heavenly planets, and then they returned to the spiritual world, and they became Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta, who relate the pastimes of the Lord to Nanda Maharaj and his assembly every morning and evening. So it was just Narada Muni's mercy that changed their whole destiny. Okay, I think that's it for today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.